Live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing, Josh Carey and David Bates.
And everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard. You got to find a project. You got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. We are Facebook Live here, and it's Saturday morning, so you have to get up, get out, go ahead, turn this thing on, get another cup of coffee, because we're going to be here for about an hour. And we'll bring some things going along there. Good morning, David Bates.
Good morning, Josh Carey.
Good morning, Michael Stevenson.
Morning. I'm glad I can be on camera for once.
We've got your good side.
You just need to chit chat for a moment, because I still haven't got this thing. They have changed all. It seems like overnight they have changed where everything is.
Okay.
Well, how that we do it. So we're getting off to a bumpy start here.
Well, as promised, every week this gets a little smoother. A little smoother.
We're up to 60 grit now, so I mean we're okay. We'll get to the 400 here before 420.
I'm struggling with it. I thought, well, I'm going to get in here early, and I was in here and plenty of time.
But you went and got your shirt and everything was great. Because David's been working already this morning. Again, we are here from an essential business, and we are going to try to provide an essential service to the people, because that's different times we're living in, boys. You noticed that it's been a little different last week? I mean,
it was. I was what I do for a living. I'm in and out of a lot of the big box stores. Mm-hmm. It don't look any different there. They were packed to the brim.
And that is part and parcel of the game. And, folks, we're going to have to modify some behaviors. We're going to have to do some things differently over the next few weeks and coming months, possibly. But
finally figured it out, by the way.
Okay, you're getting there.
I'm really close now. Within mere moments, I'll actually have it shared out to where I want it. I did get the Bates Nursery followers shared out there. So welcome to all of you. You come online here. And
the phone number, by the way, is 615-499-6690.
Yep, you're going to leave a voicemail, and we may call you back. We've got at least one special guest that will be
reaching. One in the queue?
No, we have to call him back. You know, he called the other number to the studio. But unfortunately, our friends over at the family at 650 AM WSM, we're broadcasting from an auxiliary studio. I mean, it's not the fishbowl. You can tell that we're not in the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center. We are broadcasting from the green room at 3810 Whites Creek Pike. That's 0.9 miles north of Briley Parkway at exit 19.
The Yard Boy's calling.
The Yard Boy is calling in already this morning.
Do we want to go ahead and get this weather up and out of the way? And
get let's go ahead and get the weather.
Do y'all want to completely start over again since I'm just now?
No, we can do the weather.
Well, we've got, we have the capabilities. It's our show. We can do what we want to do. We don't want to do, we don't want to have bad words said on the radio, so we're going to do some things.
We try to be family oriented, so here, let's give it a
Who's
go
family?
Here. Today, of course, it's everybody is family anymore.
Yep.
We're all family. Today, of course, is Saturday. It's going to be a really nice day. A few clouds to start off the day, but otherwise sunny all afternoon. So get out there and enjoy the sunshine. Winds are going to be 5 to 10 miles an hour, so nothing too terribly much on that. Tonight, it's going to be fairly clear overnight. Low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow, more sunshine, few clouds.
That'd be great.
High of 75 degrees. As we look through the 10-day, and we've really got a very seasonable forecast out ahead of us, Josh. We've got a few showers moving in Monday and Tuesday, and then we've got quite a bit of sunshine and clouds. If you see there on the screen, we're and it's going to be very nice, very seasonably mild temperatures. We're looking like we're going to be in the 60s for much of the week. And so currently here in the Music City, it is 62 degrees.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, since I've got all behind schedule here, mm-hmm. I didn't get logged into this properly so that all these ads are popping up on there, so it doesn't allow me to get the resolution that I want to get on the screen there.
You do resolutions in the
This is not a January. New Year's resolution.
Okay.
This is not that.
Because we're just going to bring 2020 all the way around. We're just going to skip 2020, go straight to 2021, I think.
I think a lot of people at this stage of the game have a kind of dismissed resolutions, whatever. I mean, unless you trying to eat right and stay in a pretty good physical condition, I think those are certainly worthwhile ones to do to keep ourselves in as good a health as we possibly can to be able to deal with whatever might come down the pike. You just never know.
I had a buddy. Well, he's not a buddy. He's one of my mom's buddies. He said him and his wife did their traditional New Year's meal again, and they're just starting over.
Oh, they're going to go away from that. Well, folks, 615-499-6690.
Yep,
that's the number
to
dial.
That's the one.
You'll leave a voicemail, and we're going to go to a friend, an at homie, a true at homie. Yard boy, are you up and
What's
running?
Going on?
Are you out striping the grass this morning, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Been up since the sun come up. Actually, a little bit before the sun come up, getting it taken care of.
Well, that's good. That's good. How are things down in the greater metropolitan Petersburg area this morning?
In the 37144, it is mostly sunny this morning and getting warm.
Now you're embracing this alternative broadcast locations. I understand that you did a feature, Adventures with the Yard Boy, from a portable rest facility this week. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How did that go for you? Did everything come out all right?
Yeah, everything came out all right. I'd be quite honest with you, the whole segment stunk.
I got it. Yeah. Especially after, those are the most wonderful places on the planet for those of us in the construction industry. In the afternoon in August, and this is after the food truck comes through, in particular. Yep. Aren't they glorious places?
Absolutely, especially when there's like 130% humidity and no breeze whatsoever, and that thing is out in the middle of the sun with no shade.
Right, and it's always better when it's just slightly askew, say at about a 22-degree angle. Mm-hmm. Either in leaning toward the front where the door tries to keep propping open and popping open on you.
Or leaning to the side and you've got to put your hand up on the wall to brace yourself.
You don't want to touch anything inside of there. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Corey, you are having fun. You're out there. You're providing services to the people. And are you seeing anybody slowing down and getting out and about, or is everybody still pumping and growing and everything?
You know, in my travels to and from the base station to the workplace, so to speak, I'm not at least where I'm at, kind of in between Thompson Station and Franklin, where is my main route that I run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of traffic on the road per se. But once I get off into these neighborhoods, oh, my goodness, people are everywhere out walking. That's what has really just kind of taken me by surprise during all of this is it's people. And listen, people, just because you're out walking with a family, still keep that 6 feet between you. Don't
Absolutely.
It's fine to get out. And I think it's great that families are getting out and they're spending time with each other outside. But please, still keep that distance. Me personally, I'm still practicing, a two-strike distance between people.
And you got a big mower deck. So, that's good.
What is yours, a 48-inch deck on yours? Is that what it is?
A 64, sir.
Oh, wow. So, we're talking you're keeping a good 10 feet between yourself and others.
Well, and again, be careful because if the folks, there are a lot of folks traveling through these neighborhoods that don't go through them during the daytime in the summertime when the kids are out playing and they're chasing the balls and they're riding the bicycles and the hoverboards and the skateboards. And you have to be really careful because even the young ones don't always pay attention to what's going on around them. So let's be careful out there. Yeah.
Especially when they're buried in that fog while they're walking. This is no joke. I want to tell you this real quickly. This is no joke. I saw a woman Monday, I think. Yeah, Monday in Spring Hill. She was walking down the sidewalk pushing a baby stroller and had her phone buried in her phone. And I kid you not, she walked right into a telephone pole.
Oh my goodness.
Man, that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. Now, David, I noticed I'm not able to watch this morning because of where I'm at. But, David, it looks to me like you've like been relegated to the kids' table at Thanksgiving. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, generally, if you look at the overall stature of the tables that we currently have, there's nothing really high end about the better table, the bigger table. It's just bigger, you know. There, but yes, I am at the kids' table, and deservedly so. You know.
Now, I like to think of as he got his own space.
Well, it's either the kid's table or you're the kid in school that had to have his desk right next to the teacher. It's one of the things.
Well, there could have been a little bit of that.
How that looked like, because I had that bird's eye view for several years.
Could have been a little of that. I'm not going to say that it never happened.
So you were her right-hand man then, Corey. I mean, I understand that. I spent a few moments in that same seat. Yeah, so it was
plenty of visits from the Board of Education while I was there. Too.
Well, I was educated by the Board of Education upon occasion.
Yes, we all were.
Mm-hmm. Did your Board of Education have holes drilled into it so it would eliminate the airflow? Yeah, the drag on it. Oh my goodness,
that's a psychological ploy. You know, it doesn't. I never knew anyone who had a quick enough wrist action to really be able to make it whistle when it came up. Anyway, but
you didn't know Coach Hickey then. I'm telling you that. All right, folks.
It's a, who would get a three-step run and start at you before she got a hold of you.
Two hands and swinging, huh? Okay.
We're telling our age, guys.
She was swinging for the fences, let me just tell you, and she would pick you up off the ground when she did it.
615-499-6690 is the number to join us. You can join us like Corey does, and it's a good thing. Hey, my friend, be safe out there. Two stripes distance. That's a good way of looking at that. Two stripes distance. We'll keep them going, and just watch out for the youngins out there and keep them straight there, boy.
Absolutely, y'all keep them straight up there now.
All righty, thank you, Corey. All right, folks.
Hey, while on the note.
On a note
that the yard boy was talking about, I think it's a good time just to go ahead and put out there the changes that all essential businesses are being required to make. And that's, you know, every place of business, and Bates Nursery and Garden Center is one of those, to where that, you know, we are deemed an essential business because of the amount of gardening products that we have. And I'm talking about specifically for fruit producing, vegetable plants, fruiting plants, those kind of things. And there is an unprecedented demand for that kind of thing. However, with that demand comes a lot of people.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we are no more capable of controlling hundreds of people than anybody else is. So we've had to put measures in place to throttle down the amount of people that can actually get in here. And those who are familiar with Bates Nursery know that we have as you drive in, there's a very large gravel parking lot ahead. And then in front of the building, there's a smaller paved lot. And that has given us really very adequate parking for a lot of years. However, with the many changes that have gone on over the last few weeks, and with coinciding with the governor's mandate to stay at home, we've had to really take some measures to control the number of cars through the number of vehicles that get in here. And we have a limited number of parking spots on the front of our building. I believe we can probably handle about 60 vehicles up there. We have a 3-acre location here, so, you know, we have plenty of room, but we've implemented some other things, and we're really a strong advocates of the shop alone.
Yep.
And what that essentially means is that if you come out to Bates Nursery today, only two adults will be allowed to get out of a vehicle.
Your rules, David. I mean, these are things that need to be done.
No choice. If we don't come up with a way to effectively control the numbers of people, we will and should be rightfully shut down.
Yep.
So we have to abide by the regulations and the best practices of the safety measures that are required due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So when you come to the gate here, there will be a security person. We've never had that before. You will have a security person at the gate. You'll be given a piece of paper that tells you what the rules of engagement are, what Chaperone's all about. Only two adults. You can't bring kids with you. No pets. We are obviously a multi-generation family-owned business. We've always been all about the family, and the more the merrier. But this is not the time for that. We can't do it right now. We're just unable to. And so I ask your understanding that you won't be able to bring your dog. You won't be able to bring your kids out today. We've got to be able to try to help people get in and get out. And further to that end, this is the last day we will have hours from 9 until 4. Starting tomorrow, Sunday is a typical day where we're open from noon until 4. We will be open noon until 4, 7 days a week. So that's and that is due to the fact that we have had a tremendous upsurge in our internet orders. And it takes a long time and a lot of people to shop. When you're having to turn your business around and shop for other people, rather than everybody shop for themselves, it requires a lot more hands and it requires a lot more time. So we physically don't have the ability to be open the numbers of hours. So after today, you will see that we will only be open from noon until 4. Of course, our website is open 24 hours a day at BatesNursery.com, and you got to go in there and register and log on. But you can search everything we have online and keep yourself at home, and we have designated, which we'll be expanding this week, our curbside pickup lanes. So if you are doing a curbside pickup, you will let the attendants know at the gate, and you'll be allowed to bypass and pull up and load your order and get on out of here. So I anticipate there will be some traffic issues as we get on into the late morning.
Just be patient. Please be patient.
It's a very trying time on all of us. And we don't have any training. We have received no previous training in how to do this. So we've tried to observe what others have done. We've tried to do our due diligence.
Now, David, in all honesty, you started this a week and a half ago. I mean, yes. You were recommending that folks try to do this a week and a half ago.
Yes, that's
you
true.
You do that to protect your employees, yourself, and everybody else that's coming through here. I want to say you were ahead of the curve, but it's a good thing to do, folks. I mean, you just do what you need to. If you feel comfortable with your bandana on or your gloves, I mean, the guys out here, they're staying away from them. You're going to have a lot of opportunity to be able to look around, but get in and get out and pick out what you want. I mean, there's no reason for you to be and this is not maybe necessarily for on David's side of things, but when you go to the grocery store, have your list ready. You know where you've been to that same grocery store 47,000 times. Go in, get what you need, and get just what you need, and go home.
So the graphic you see up on the screen right here is one of our signs you'll see as you come out shopping mm-hmm. today, and we've got those around. As conspicuously located as possible to encourage you to shop alone. And from my perspective, we're not just talking about it at Bates Nursery. It's wherever you are going, wherever you endeavor to get in. Here's another little thing we want to keep in mind.
The koi relocation program.
Okay, now can you tell us a story about the koi here?
Okay, now. All right,
let me finish my thought quick.
Okay, you finish your thought because we're going to move to the koi.
We're going to move to the koi, but.
Actually, we'll go to Jim when we get done with this.
We really strongly recommend that no matter where you're shopping, if it's for groceries, go to the drugstore, whatever the essential travel requirements you have, shop alone.
I needed to go get a tool last Saturday after the show. I needed to go purchase a side grinder. I know where to go in the store.
Right.
I went to it, went through the front door, turned to the left, went to the tool crib, picked out the one I wanted in about 13 seconds because I'd already looked at what the right. done some comparisons, grabbed a pack of discs, and I was in and out of a Big Blue Block store in about 14 minutes. You can do it, folks. You can do it.
I had to go pick up a push mower last weekend. We got it in about 13 seconds, but then I was in line for 40.
Yeah. Well,
and they had started their social distance. They had lined things out on the road. You know, if you on the aisles. Now, when you're in a store, if you happen to stop and you have to go pay for some gas or pick up a drink or something like that, they've got the stores marked in most of the larger mini markets. Bodegas, whatever it is that you try to do. Several of the bodegas have set up a screen near the checkout line.
Right.
So, I mean, it just pay attention to what you're doing, folks. This is not really going to be all that hard to take care of. All righty. We're going to go to another fine friend and former producer of the At Home Show, Jim Stevens. You're calling from where this morning, sir?
Well, I am in Cleveland today.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay.
Yeah. I was in Chicago up until a couple days ago, and then I just pushed all my vacation forward and decided to come home and stay with the wife until some of this blows over.
Okay. Now,
so how much time do you actually have, Jim? Do you have a bit?
May 2nd. Yeah.
Huh?
May 2nd?
May 2nd.
Well,
yeah.
I think that should that gives you a reasonable amount of time, and that hopefully we will be at least moving well onto the back side of this a month out from now. So I know that's everyone's hope, and yeah, and that can only happen if we're doing the things like you're doing, is you try to remove ourselves from the equation wherever possible. Yep. Don't add anything more to the equation than absolutely necessary, and I'm talking about people.
Now, Jim, and just as a side note, you work in the airline industry, don't you?
Yep, sure do.
That is got to be tough times. Now, in your lifetime, have you seen the number of flights canceled other than perhaps on 9/11 would be the only other
even,
time?
Even after 9/11, it wasn't this bad because it was like 3 or 4 days of a total shutdown, and then the airline was flying again, and they furloughed and cut workers back then. But, you know, in a month and a half, people were starting to fly again because the security had been reinforced and people were starting to feel a little more confident. But this is quite a different thing. This is just these planes are, it's not just in this country, it's worldwide. I deal with international flights, and, you know, they're practically empty because of all the travel restrictions that have been put in place. There's just, you know, I stand in wonder of people who went on vacation, you know, in the beginning of March when you could see this was coming, and now are trapped in other countries.
Well, and there were several of the European airlines that are not in as good of fiscal shape as some of the American ones are, and you guys run on a tight, you'd run on a tight rope anyway. But I'm thinking of Alitalia in particular. They were kind of in some of the smaller regional, I would call them regional airlines, if that's the proper term. They're going to be really tough, aren't they?
Yeah, it wasn't even a month and a half ago that we were talking about having a record economic year at the airline, that we were all looking forward to a big profit sharing check and all that. That's at the end of, as late as the end of February, we were still thinking that.
Well, we had booked an extended family trip. We bought 7 tickets to go all the way to a little island out there in the Pacific Ocean called Maui. And those 7 tickets, I mean, they were pretty good price, but I mean, 7 times what we paid for it. If everybody and every family was going to be looking at it,
it's probably almost $700, I'm guessing.
Each? Well, you could probably get one cheap.
I'm being facetious.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I heard you talking about stores and shopping and stuff up in Chicago. The other day I was going to take a picture of it, and I didn't get a chance to. They've gotten to the point now where they've got somebody standing at the door, and they only let a certain amount of people into the grocery store at a particular amount of time. The rest of the people are lined up out front and around the corner, and they're standing 6 feet apart. Right. I sent you guys some pictures of Chicago, of some of the areas, and it's like a ghost town up there. It really is. It's spooky.
It is a very surreal. Just being able to, when you're needing to go somewhere, the absence of traffic. Although I will say that here in Tennessee, the data that the state of Tennessee, Department of Transportation, they are correct in assessing the fact that there's entirely too many people being out and about. And, you know, that's, you know, we, that's, you know, part of the difficulty of being an American in this situation is we're used to our freedom. You know, we're, that's what we're all about.
Yep.
And I think it's a very tough lesson for us to learn. I'm afraid that, it could be a very dire consequences as a result.
Yeah, I think part of the problem too, though, is David, that, you know, it's been winter time. People have been cooped up in their homes and stuff like that. Well, one of the problems they had in Chicago about a week and a half ago now is they had their first warm, sunny day. And right. This was after they'd put out the stay-at-home restrictions. But the governor and the mayor had both said, you know, we want you to go out and exercise, walk your dogs. Well, that warm, sunny day, what did they expect to happen? Thousands of people flocked to the lakefront. Right. It was bedlam down there. And they ended up having to send the police out and clear the park and the lakeshore out. I sent you a picture of the park across my way where they had police walking through, and they were just telling people you got to leave. And the next day, they had snow fencing up across all the entrances, and there are still police on duty at the entrances to the lakefront and several places along the lakeshore to chase anybody who tries to go down their way.
Well, it's
going to get tough.
Yeah, very challenging time. Hey, let's shift gears for a minute here. Jim, you sent out a text earlier in the week, and you were talking about I think you had the trencher word in there.
The ditch witch. That's what I'm looking at.
So what project, pray tell, have you done the one call first to make sure that where you're trenching doesn't have underground lines? I mean,
the last time this thing kind of happened, you shut down the city of Houston, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was not Houston, just Spring, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Managed to knock out the electricity to a number of homes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's drainage in the backyard. The drainage in the backyard has always been a sore spot with me. It's very poor. It pools back there. The soil up here is a lot of hard clay. And so it doesn't drain well into the soil. It just lays on the surface.
Sounds like Tennessee.
Yeah. And what I want to do, and we've talked about this before, putting the French drains in the back. So that's, yeah.
It's
well,
the Dutch drains. And again, the French, you know, come on, man.
So that's the project for maybe this spring. I don't know. I've got a month to do it. You know, if I get energetic, you know, I think I'll go out there. But I'm thinking more that, you know, rather than manually digging, I'd probably be better off with at least some sort of mechanical device.
Work smart, not hard. Yeah, that's a thing to do. But again, read all the directions, and again, it's one of those things that it moves in different planes, Jim. I mean, and I'm not. Yeah. I mean, PLAINS and PLANES. Are, you know, so just be real careful with what you're doing with it. But you know, because if you shut down Cleveland, I mean, you'd probably end up having somebody find some cement shoes for you.
You don't want to make those Browns fans mad. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I do have a question for David, though.
Okay.
This time of year, am I good to put down fertilizer, or is it still too early up in this area of Yankee Land?
Well, I would say you
still got snow on the ground.
No more snow. It's okay. All gone. Trees are starting to bud.
I think it will be fine for you to go ahead and put it down now. And as the trees are beginning to bud up, that's your good indication that, you know, life is returning and spring is just around the corner. So I would say that there are perhaps a few caveats as far as what you might not want to fertilize at this stage of the game, but I can't think of really much that would be an issue. Mostly what you have are deciduous plants, that's things that drop their leaves, or conifers. You don't broadleaf plants are not are rarely used in your area. I am correct about that. I've never been to Cleveland, but you're right on the lake there. It'll just burn them right off. They may use them for annuals there.
Yes. Palm trees are kind of rare up there.
So it won't hurt a thing to go ahead and do that now. And what you're doing.
Well, I'm talking the lawn mostly is what
okay.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, because are you seeing signs of growth yet at all coming up in?
In a couple small areas, but overall it's not growing yet. It's still,
and you've got
we're still down in the 30s at night.
Now, how is your, as far as your weed control goes, are you in pretty good shape? Does you look like you have a good stand of grass, or do you have a lot of weeds that are still present?
Well, my grass is like my hair. It's thinning rapidly, so I need to do something.
Well, this is where you got to make the decision, Jim, is the weather that you want to overseed, which is, of course, an option that's open to you, or you can use a weed and feed. The problem is you can't do both. So if you decide to overseed and use fertilizer, that'll be fine. Now, you're a little early for overseeding at this point in your area. You're probably at least 2 or 3 weeks away from the prime where you, because you're having nighttime temperatures still in the 30s, right? Quite a lot.
Correct. Yeah.
You're going to need to get those up where they're at least in the upper 40s.
Is he going to have a Rylon up there?
Very likely, yeah. And a Rylon does wonderfully in there. You know, rye is beautiful grass, and people who have Rylons here enjoy them all winter long. And when it gets hot, they don't have a Rylon anymore. They've got dead patches. So the thing here is you can't really have rye as a year-round permanent turf.
Sour mash anyway.
So that's one thing that you have on us, young man.
Well, we'll see what happens. I tell you what, I might go ahead and just fertilize and see if it fills in. You can overseed it just about any time of the year.
Yes, you can do that later on. Sure. But fertilization certainly will help to add vigor and vitality to those plants that are already there and help them to increase the side growth that will come out and be thicker and fuller plants. So you will get a lot of thickening just by doing that. So,
and I know, hey, if you wanted to call the Prince of Potions, Drew, over at Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, I know he would love to hear from you. And he's going to be over at the Mount Juliet. He's up on top of Mount Juliet now. So
all the way at the top.
At the peak of Mount Juliet. He'll give you some advice, and since he doesn't have a he might ship it to you, but it'd be a little expensive. But we'll see what happens.
See what happens then. Guys, thank you very much, and stay safe, stay healthy. It's a tough time for everybody, but I think we'll come out on the other side. And I'm a firm believer everything will rebound pretty quickly when we get on the other side of it.
I agree with you 100%. 113%.
Always great to hear from you, my friend.
All right, Jimbo. All right.
Enjoy.
He's got the greatest laugh. Greatest laugh on the planet.
It's the most distinctive laugh. It's kind of like Snidely Whiplash. You remember that character on the...
With the waxy mustache. Uh-huh.
Dudley Do-Right. Yep. Now, can you bring back the koi photo?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
sure,
would you be glad to do that for me?
I'd be glad to do that for you.
Because we need to talk about this. A very old friend of mine, and...
How old?
He's older than you, so I mean...
Oh,
he's
my word.
I consider him a mentor. I consider him one of the guys that would be, if I were ever in real trouble and I needed some help.
There's the beautiful koi.
Okay, the koi, and my good friend, that we call him the Titan of Trim, Lewis Dickerson. He has reached the point in his maturity that he's seeking to move to the Sunshine State, David Bates, and he cannot put these in his suitcase and take them with him. So he is hoping to find some people to relocate some of his koi, and I'm sure they're treated like pets. They probably all have a name. So
what are you thinking? How are we going to get the word out? How are folks going to get in touch with Lewis to be able to make this happen?
I would reach out to him at Facebook. And again, if you're looking for Facebook, I don't want to put his profile picture up there, but if you're looking for Lewis Dickerson, LewisDickerson, you'll see a...
Does Lewis by chance have an email address that he would share with us on that?
He may even call us. We've got a phone number to give him a shout, but he is an author. He is...
What is the subject matter of his writings?
He wrote a book about himself. I mean, I happen to be in it, so I mean, it was okay too. But that's great. But Lewis is...
I may not be much, but I'm all I ever think about. Is that the title of it?
Yeah, it could be. Now, Lewis, when you find him on Facebook, you'll be able to see him. His profile picture shows a stately gentleman, a tall fellow with a blue shirt and some white pants on it, and you can reach out to us. And if you're really interested and serious, and you have a pond already, would probably be the best way to take.
Well, it sure
this.
Makes the transportation a lot easier. You can just simply get some heavy duty plastic trash bags and put water in them and drive from point A to point B, and You are relocated.
But he is also offered to advise on how to dig a pond and start a pond. And
you better get at it if you're going to, I mean, because, you know, those fish are, so when is, what is their time
I don't frame think for moving? I don't think that this is this is imminent or crucial or anything like
it's
that.
It's on the horizon,
but he's working towards that goal. So, but they're beautiful. I mean, I don't know how tasty they would be, but, I mean, that orange one.
you think that is into the equation at all?
We don't want a Joey Montaglione to see them. I mean, that would be, he'd throw a topwater bait across there probably and spin it across. But he actually offered them to me, but I don't think that the canines in the household would be really good citizens around a pond.
Well, the particularly Labradors, they just want to grab everything.
I don't have a Labrador.
If it's in the water, or your canines, yeah. Well, and you just got rid of your... You're above ground koi pond, didn't
no,
you?
No, it's still there. It's still there.
I mean, you could at least harbor them for a while.
It's a beautiful shade of green right now as well.
Would, you know what? If you put the koi in there, Josh, they would clean that right up. They would. They would clean it right up, I promise you.
I would be worried about the – again, I've been trying since February the 20th. I followed up on this email trail from February 20th with a local provider. I'm not sure I'm going to endorse them, but local provider, and I've been having a little – times are weird. So, I mean, getting a service crew and getting some other people out there to come up and take a look at this thing, because this is not something I could probably – successfully do without a little bit of expertise taking a look at the aluminium pond and making sure that if I put another 30,000 gallons of water into it,
that yeah, if, but that holds.
Oh, easy. Yeah. I mean, I don't want it over on my next door neighbor, because that wouldn't be good. That would be bad.
Who's the original owner of these fish again?
Lewis Dickerson.
Earl Clover says if there's no viable takers, the Opryland Hotel might take them. That's what little Jimmy Dickens' wife did.
Is that right? Okay. Very, very cool. Now, they've got a running river over there.
Yes.
Can't get in right now, but, I mean, that would be...
No. That's a viable option, or maybe... Perhaps Cheekwood, they might take them. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that we've got some people,
ponds over there. So.
And there are a lot of ponds and a lot of beautiful things around Middle Tennessee, and I know some of the at-homies have got a pond. So
at the very least, you could send reach us out
a
to mess. Us.
Yeah, you can send
reach
us a message.
Reach out to us, and we'll forward that along.
Okie dokie. But that's it. So got to get some fish out there.
All right, well, good luck to you,
Lewis,
and get that thing.
And by the way, we've got a message from Jake and Holly. That's Jake and Holly's dad.
Oh, yeah,
Jake and Holly. Okay.
Jake and Holly.
Yeah, okay. And Jake says that I am to tell him to stay his ass at home.
That's what he talks to his dad in such a
He talks to me that way.
Oh,
so
okay.
I mean that
he's instructing you to instruct his dad. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Okay. All righty. Oh, goodness. 615-499-6690.
That's right.
I've got that one memorized now. So
that's why I picked it. It's an easy one to remember.
Okay. So did you get your boxes built and your garden planted yet, young man?
Not quite yet. We got some of the plants planted, but we don't have the boxes built as yet. That's this weekend's project.
Okay. So you're supposed to. It's kind of a chicken and an egg thing there, isn't it? Or I mean,
last weekend on Sunday when we were planning on doing it.
You decided to cook steaks.
Well, no, I sent you that picture, but I had to mow the yard, and I had to finally break down and go get a push mower.
Mm.
We looked at some of the electric ones.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't too pleased with the fact that they said the battery lasts only 45 to 60 minutes.
Like, well, that means you have to have
50
multiple
batteries.
Well, you got to have probably three.
Three batteries, yeah.
Just to be able to get the first one charged, that doesn't mean three batteries will do it, but by the time you run the third one down, the first one has had time to recharge, likely.
Yeah, and, well, I ended up just getting a gas one that has the mulcher and all that stuff it too. And
yeah, it's a family heirloom. Just take good care of it. Change the oil in it every year. Don't leave the gas in it, and you'll have it forever.
And then my wife decided, in addition to the raised garden beds, we've got all this grass. I didn't send you a picture. You guys a picture of that. All the gravel in the back of the yard, I was telling you guys how the water was cutting a creek. Well, mm-hmm. We found out two different things. One, there's a wet weather spring across the road that keeps feeding that water down.
That's yeah, a good thing. You know, those things never show themselves in dry weather. No. It's only in wet weather.
Okay. Well, we got to move all this gravel, and so she wants all this gravel gone. We're going to put down grass seed or some kind of patio type thing or something there. And yeah, so I'm going to be busy over the next weekends for, well, probably the rest of my life.
You brought her to the nursery, man. She saw what's out there for her to have. So, I mean, what are the two operative words? The most popular words in a married family, David?
Yes, dear.
Yes, absolutely.
What, it's not no.
Whatever.
Huh? Not heck no.
That may be the way that you roll.
I say yes a lot.
We had a question last week that we did not get to, and I'm having trouble finding the live feed to see if there are any other questions out there. But my dear cousin Chrissy up in Aberdeen, Maryland, had sent us a comment and asked a question about something last week, David, that she has a fence line, and it's a tree line, actually, where she's got some mature pines that she'd like to put something in.
Well, you know,
at
least they're orderly. Yeah. You know, there's nothing worse than those immature pines that just never act proper.
Well, that side of the Carey family, I mean, again, she's a Carey kid. Mm. So, I mean, again, you know, there's only certain that mature is relative at this point in any of our lines.
So the exact nature of her question is?
She wanted to know what she could plant as an understory between the pines. That would get about 6 feet tall.
And do you have a clue about how far these pines are apart from each other?
My guess is that they're probably, I'm just guessing, I've seen a picture of where I think she is because she said that she had coyotes that were trying to get her puppies one time, and I think it's across, it's a little bit out of the way. But I would say we're gonna say it's 12 to 15 feet.
And we can assume by the way she's phrased her question that mm-hmm. she has limbed these pine trees up 6 feet high.
They have grown to the point where the lower limbs are no longer that
far. So these are large pine trees.
Right. Now, she lives in Aberdeen, Maryland, which is very close to the coast. And Aberdeen actually has a water on one side of it. It's where the proving grounds were originally found, Aberdeen Proving Grounds. They used to shoot bullets and missiles out into the Chesapeake Bay and make the house shake at the Edgewood Arsenal.
I've been notified by our off-site consultant that we're having connectivity issues, that we've lost connection a couple of times, then we came back.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so this, if you're watching now, this is going to be a podcast, yes. So you'll be able to listen to it after the fact.
Yeah, and we will, in the busyness of all that's going on in my world, I should say.
Your words, too.
My word, too. I'm just having trouble speaking. She said we were out for nearly a minute.
So, just a minute. Okay.
That was during the important. That was probably the best minute of radio that we've had in the last 22 years,
yeah,
David.
In a while.
I don't mean to interrupt. We have a voicemail from Martha M., by the way. I'm not going to play it back because she gives out her phone number in it.
Okay.
But she says she would like to know about those koi for giveaway because she's grown to love those things, and they're very hardy, too. And then she gives her phone number to have someone call her back.
This is Martha Ann?
Says Martha. Well, yeah, I guess Martha Ann. Yeah.
Okay, well, we can connect Martha Ann with Mr. Lewis. And
Martha, if you're watching, it's not that I don't want to play back your voicemail. I just want to give out. I don't want to give out your phone number to everybody. And
we could do that. Not advisable to do so, but we may even be able to, since you have her phone number, we may be able to actually text that to her and keep them in the family, because Martha Ann's kind of, you know.
I got a thing? I got a graphic up here on the screen, Josh. It's Earthmix Garden Products, and mm-hmm. talk about that for just a moment. People at this stage of the game, there are more interested and newly avid gardeners than I think I have ever seen. The interest in planting garden plants and growing your own vegetables, it's never been.
Your wife.
Since the days of Victory Garden, back in World War II, where people were, you know, they're growing their own to help, you know, make sure that they've got food to eat, you know, and When you are trying to grow your own fruits and vegetables, you want to do it, obviously, as organically as you possibly can. You don't want to be putting chemicals and things in there. So that's where Earthmix Garden Products comes in. There's a complete line of products for every gardening need. But if you're talking about, like Michael did, he had a square foot a raised bed on the ground. He used Earth Mix Garden to fill that
with. He's going to do it. And he hasn't done it yet.
I am going to do
Earth,
it.
Earth Mix Garden is a premium topsoil blend.
Yes,
that is to say, it actually contains topsoil. You can't find that in other, all these other bags of soil you see on the market that say topsoil. There's a little secret. They don't have any topsoil in them at all. So if you're looking for something that's organic and will grow your plants to the very best, check out Earth Mix Garden. It's in the green bag. You'll see it at independent garden centers all over Middle Tennessee, Kentucky. We even have locations in Indiana now. So check those out over at earthmix.net. If you're going to be growing in a container, Proganics O is a professional organic grower mix, especially blended for outdoor applications. So if you've got containers that you're wanting to, you know, a lot of people are doing decorative containers rather than putting flowers in them. They're growing, you know, tomatoes or peppers or any of a number of different things. So if you're going to do that, recommend you check out Proganics O. And, of course, there's a complete line of products. You can see all of those over at earthmix.net. Just go to earthmix.net. And while you're there, you can also click on the Find Earthmix tab to give you a list of all the dealers all over Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, all locations. Check them out, and you can just put your address in, or you can zoom in for turn-by-turn directions for the location nearest you. Remember this, success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use Earthmix Garden products. And, of course, Bates Nursery is a proud seller of the entire line of Earthmix Garden products, including bulk products, super sacks, the whole bit. Now, a lot of people question about the super sack. A lot of people want those.
Need a forklift.
You got to have a forklift. It's about 1,600 pounds. So, you know, this is a 1,000-liter bag.
So it's not going to fit my Prius.
No. Oh, the empty bag would fit in there, but not with material in it. And I don't think it would carry it. So, anyway, those things are available. Many products are available in bulk. So if you brought a truck and a trailer, they can simply be dumped onto there, and you can shovel them off that way. So,
did we ever get an answer from my cousin? I mean, about what we might be thinking about putting out there? The first thing that came to mind, and I was thinking about the soil around the pine trees.
Well, they're going to be acidic somewhat.
Yeah, it's going to be. I was thinking about blueberries.
The only issue is there enough light?
Uh-huh.
And if she were to plant them like a double row, one on the edge of one side of the trees and one on the edge of the other side, she could have a tremendous blueberry crop.
Except for there's a lot of deer up there as well.
Deer are going to enjoy them very much. You have to really be diligent about the difficulty in any kind of a landscape situation is.
What about azaleas? Now, again, they're not going to get quite that tall, but
unless you plant a very specific cultivar, one called Puccinense compacta, and the reason I recommend that one, if
you got that Puccinense kind of compacta, okay,
that one is a kind of a lavender colored, it has a very unusual scent to it,
mm-hmm.
And the thing that keeps deer from chewing on them is they don't like things that have smells to them, so they were things that have a strong odor. My good friend and landscape architect, well-renowned over the entire Southeast and very much known here in Middle Tennessee, Duncan Callicott, at his home in Franklin, has an extensive bed of azaleas, and the deer came and chewed them all to the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Except for the Puccinense compacta, and they did not touch a leaf on them. So that's how I know they actually do what they what they say.
But they're not going to get quite 6 feet tall. So, I mean, maybe a rhodi. I mean, some rhododendrons would probably do okay.
You could do that.
And that would stay semi-evergreen. Well, they're going to stay evergreen, aren't they?
No, they are a semi-broadleaf is what I would call them. So a very good azalea. They have lovely foliage, and I like them a lot. And they're very tough. They're not susceptible to a lot of diseases and that kind of thing. Hey, touch on the weather here again quickly. Great forecast for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Partly cloudy conditions today and tomorrow. High temperatures in the mid 70s, and a little chance of showers early part of the week. It cools down just a bit, back into the mid to upper 60s throughout the remainder of the week, and a mixture of sun and clouds throughout. And refresh here so I get an accurate temperature reading.
Uh-huh.
Looks like we're up to 70 degrees here at Bates Nursery, so going to be a beautiful day to get out and enjoy the outdoors, and but at a distance from each other.
I live out in on the edge of Springfield, so it's a little bit more rural, and we're the only people I ever see walking, and it's at a cul-de-sac, so we just kind of do laps around that and enjoy
the trees
the
circle,
and stuff. Yeah.
Going around in circles, okay.
Little boy loves to punch run.
Do what?
He punch runs.
Does he really?
I need to take a video and send it to you. But when he runs, he puts his fist out in front of him, and he punches everything in his way.
I wonder where he gets that.
It must come down from his mama's side of the family. That's absolutely true. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
My wife wanted to know when you would be getting some more lemon trees in. Do you know?
I have no idea on that. And the reason for that is because of some diseases and pests that attack the citrus out of California, they no longer can ship them out of California. We used to always get them from Monrovia. They grew wonderful citrus. Until they get their production up in Georgia, which they are working on. And, you know, and when you're growing plants for a living, you don't turn on the production machine and they just appear. You know, it takes time. So it will be probably another year, perhaps two, before there is a wide range of choices and sizes on those, but certainly
they're going to grow this one in the house, right?
Really enjoy citrus. Meyer lemon is one of the favorites easily.
Gorgeous trees.
And they bloom prolifically in the late winter, early spring. I was talking with my friend Kathy West, who was a neighbor who was out here yesterday, and she was telling me how they keep it in the basement, but they have some windows in the basement. And They are basement windows.
Are they true basement windows?
I don't know. I say they're as true as from the lemon tree's perspective, they are true basement windows because they get sufficient light and they have fluorescence overhead.
They're not basement windows then. Okay. They're just in the windows that are in the basement. Okay. Trust me.
Now, over here at my house next door, those are basement windows.
Correct, yes.
You got the little handle you pull up and it rocks out.
Sometimes.
Yeah, well, yeah. If,
used to.
If you've opened them in the last few years.
Mine are caulked shut in the basement.
Well, that can happen too. Yes. So, citrus trees are really enjoyable, and you can actually get a pretty good amount of, once you've had them for a couple of years, pretty good amount of fruit off of them, and there's nothing gorgeous like fruit. You know, when you go into stores and buy fruit, they have to pick it before it's fully ripe so that it can be transported successfully. And, you know, you never get bananas they're always picked green. But I lived in Hawaii back in the day, and I had lived adjacent to a few banana trees along the way there, and to be able to pick bananas.
Were they your banana trees, David?
That was not my banana tree. We actually got in trouble about that.
I bet you did.
Well, the bananas were going bad, and so we decided we would cut them down, and then we got called out by the little boy who said that was his bananas. He wasn't eating them, but he didn't want us to have them either. So,
hey, bro.
So I gave him this whole stalk. I mean, 150-pound stalk of bananas. Took it.
You took a whole stalk of bananas.
Let me tell you what I did.
Tree?
This is what you call the stupidity of youth or the arrogance of youth. I was 23 years old, in pretty good shape. I've worked up my whole life, and I stood up on the top of a 6-foot ladder, and I put my hand around the stalk.
This is great that we actually have video that we can see.
Lifted up on the banana, got the weight off of it. I said, I got this. And I took the machete and chopped it. I went, boom, straight to the ground with it. I mean, how stupid.
Well, it's good. It's good when in your 20s you're basically still indestructible like you were in your teens.
He was at least 4.5 foot tall and bulletproof. So.
I will say at the time, my logic might have been clouded. Possible at that stage of life for me. You know, I might have not had the most prolific clarity with respect to
seemed like a really good idea.
It seemed like a great idea at the time.
But I agree with you. Now, if you ever lived in Miami, Florida, when the mangoes come in, when you can actually just walk over to anybody's yard and they're glad to get rid of them,
and you get a mango that is about as big around as a dinner plate.
Oh, it's incredible. Just
deep, dark, reddish purple, and just
you don't know
the
that
juice
they
drips down your arm.
You don't know that they exist in this part of the world because you never see them like that. But when you pick them, when they come in Hawaii, I mean, everybody's canning them. I mean, they're because they're everywhere.
Is that like the tropical tomato, mango?
No, it's a wonderful, delicious fruit. I mean, I love mango and papaya to this day, very much so.
I could take a papaya or leave it. Oh, yeah, papayas. You know.
I don't know that I've ever had a papaya.
Oh, I love
it's good with blue cheese.
Actually, the best way is to take papaya and then squeeze lime juice over it, and that it is
really
there's
good.
Something about that flavor complement that does it. It is perfection. So I encourage you to check out papaya the next time you're out. I mean, I think they're a good thing to
I got a good one in the Cayman.
But you'll never do good with papaya in gardening in this part of the world.
Our friend Jim Donahoe, Jumpin' Jim.
Good morning, Jim.
Has said that he knows that these new rules have been difficult decisions, but he thanks you, David, for being one of the forerunners in implementing these new procedures, and he wants us to be safe.
Part of the difficulty in going through this is that, I write a weekly newsletter, and remarkably, I have a lot of people that subscribe to it, and I kind of like to talk about stories and gardening stories and life stories and perhaps have a positive twist, have a little levity associated with it. It's been difficult the last few weeks to find a spot for that, because the message that we're having to put forth is so dire. But I did watch a very interesting video this morning about leadership through crisis. It really is a whole story about Winston Churchill. And he was a guy who was a master at it.
He knows crisis.
And one of the things that he extolled was, being able to keep your sense of humor even during dark times, or what seems to be a dark time. And, the one thing we can all embrace, and we all must embrace, is that, this is going to pass. And the things we do now are going to pay dividends down the road. That'll help us to get through it and be able to look back, hopefully in the not too distant future, and be able to say, wow, can you believe we all went through that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, it's gas will probably never be this cheap again. I hadn't seen gas this cheap since I was a kid. I know you guys have seen it a lot cheaper, but,
I don't think we've hit the bottom yet on that.
We probably haven't. No. Do you have a question about a Meyer lemon tree again? My mom wanted to know. She bought this tree last year. I think she asked this last week, but I don't think she clarified exactly what she meant.
Okay.
It's about 8 feet tall.
Ooh.
It's got two long shoots. She wants to know how should it be trimmed.
With a pair of hand pruners.
Yes.
I mean, we want them to be sharp and
clean.
Those shoots are probably like, and I'm because I can't see a picture of it, obviously, and I don't know what it looks like, but. You would want to bring those back down to the relative rest of the canopy. That is to say, if you've got two-foot-long shoots above all other branches, just cut those back down.
Is there like a recommended height for it being indoors?
No.
Don't want it rubbing against the sheetrock on the ceiling.
You've got to be able to keep it in a spot where that it can get light. The difficulty with any highlight plant, and citrus are highlight plants, is keeping them in a sufficiently sunny location. So you may have to augment with fluorescent lighting, like we've got in here, something bright like that. You may have to have
some grow lights. I mean, true grow lights,
or have a full bay window. But here the next thing you have to do.
You don't have to have a bay. You could have a bow window or a big picture window.
You could have that, but what you will have to do, though, in order to keep it symmetrical, is to turn it about maybe every week, turn it about a third of a turn, and that will keep it where
it
has
access.
Does
it matter if it would go clockwise or counterclockwise?
Well, it depends on if you're on daylight saving time or on standard time.
I see. Okay. So you do it.
It's clockwise on standard time and counterclockwise on daylight saving time.
Alrighty.
And then you have to adjust depending on which time zone you're actually in.
Oh, is that, I forgot about
that. What about daylight savings time? Do you have to adjust for that?
Yeah. You have to, you know, okay, I gotta get out there and turn it an hour sooner than what you'd normally turn it. So yep. You don't want to get off schedule.
Because you could do that.
I hope you know we're being facetious. There's no truth to that at all.
We're sarcotic, as it were.
Okay.
Sarcotic or sardonic?
No, sarcotic. That means when we're sarcastic and the people don't, you know.
We have been described in times past as the sultans of sarcasm, and we embrace that.
And speaking of times past, we're done with this.
Yeah, we are. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. We're still working the bugs out of this. Obviously, we've got some bandwidth issues. We're going to work through that. We're gonna try to do a better job of decorating. We got stuff to work with.
Better every week.
Better. That's our new mantra, yeah. Better every week. The At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates here live from the green room.
Hey, stay tuned. You know, listen next week. We'll be in here. You know, subscribe to the podcast. It's going to be blowing up.
It is live.
It is live, and it is ready to roll. So you can go to wherever your podcasts or search the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page for questions. We've got the number up there through the week. You do not have to call during the broadcast.
No, you can call anytime, 615-499-6690, just like it says right there on the
watch
screen.
The Opry on 6:50 a.m. and listen to it and watch it on Circle Radio on Circle tonight, and
it's always been some great performances the last few weeks individual artists up on stage. It was the whole Gill family last week, which
Steve was there too.
Not that Gill. This is Jenny
Harry Gill.
This is Jenny and Vince and Vince's lovely bride.
That little Amy chick. That Amy chick.
Amy Grant. Yes.
Did Amy Grant sing "Big Yellow Taxi"?
I'm pretty sure she did. I didn't get to sit and watch all of it, but it was wonderful. So make sure you tune into that. Great performance. And keep on keeping on, folks. Just do it at a distance.